pediatrician, you have the wonderful opportunity to share all the bugs that every child in the area has, so I'm sharing some of those now. So the goal today is to describe the oral health efforts by the American Academy of Pediatrics, describe additional oral health efforts by the American Academy of Family Physicians, and then to identify some future efforts by each organization, because we're both still working very hard around oral health issues. So for the American Academy of Pediatrics, oral health really, to be honest, started with Ernest in 2003. We were fortunate enough to get a Maternal and Child Health Bureau grant, a PEDS Care grant, that had six strategic areas to build community collaborations, and one of those six was oral health. And the reason we did that was really in response to the Surgeon General's report. And the Academy, in their wisdom, thought it was very important to include oral health in that. So that was really the first step in the Academy. What came out of that in those couple of years after that grant was provided was a policy statement in May of 2003, really the first policy oral health policy statement from the American Academy of Pediatrics. We also were able to develop a speaker's kit on oral health issues for pediatricians with a PowerPoint training CD that was distributed to about 12,500 pediatricians throughout the country through the section on community pediatrics within the Academy. An online training module was also developed, and although I'm jumping a little bit ahead, in 2008, in January, we're going to have continuing medical education connected to that, so pediatricians can look at that and utilize that for CME, which is really great, and you see the website there. We also started an oral health preceptorship program wherein we would send a pediatrician and or a pediatric dentist to communities that applied for these preceptorships, and these pediatric dentists and or these pediatricians would talk about oral health, talk about fluoride varnish application, talk about opportunities and possibilities for collaboration within communities around oral health. And those have been, in my opinion, pretty successful because they've made quite a few changes in quite a number of communities and have really kick-started some efforts on oral health in communities throughout the country. We also have a monthly e-newsletter that I think is fantastic, and I think if any of you are not on it, get on it. It's really great. It's got just summaries of what's been in the literature, grants that are available, articles on the web around oral health. It's really fantastic, and it's a really nice thing that I look at every time I get it, and because I'm a pediatrician, I'm immersed in pediatric journals. I only go to the pediatric dental journals or the dentistry journals when I find these amazing articles or these very interesting articles, and they have them in there focused specifically on children. And then we also have a website that I encourage you all to go to that's expanding daily, really, adding things to it. So please find your way to that website. The second phase of oral health in the Academy of Pediatrics was another grant that we were fortunate enough to receive in 2005. Again, from the Maternal and Child Health Bureau, the Partnership to Reduce Oral Health Disparities in Early Childhood, with some key goals of specifically in oral health to improve the professional skills of at risk assessment, improving systems of care for the prevention of early childhood caries, to address the oral health disparities that exist in our communities, and really, and most importantly, to be honest, is to promote oral health within the Academy of Pediatrics, to really make it what we do, part and parcel of what we do. And as a result of that grant, and we're still in the timing of the grant, in 2005, the ALF, which is the Annual Leadership Forum, that's essentially our House of Delegates, that's the policy-making body of the American Academy of Pediatrics. Oral health was chosen as the number three most important clinical issue within our academy, which is really kind of a coup, and I'm going to use that word a lot because it's been amazing within the Academy of Pediatrics how in a very short period of time we've really done quite an amazing number of things. In fact, in 2006, the American Academy of Pediatrics has strategic areas that the Academy as a whole focuses on. One of the six strategic areas of the Academy is oral health now. That was something, and that's on the scale of obesity, children with special health care needs, etc. We also started an oral health education program for trainees and practicing pediatricians. There was a resolution in the 2005 ALF on the application of fluoride varnish, And it was voted a topic for Healthy People 2010, which is a grant that program that we have for chapters that's funded by grants from or monies from pediatricians. Just to very quickly go through these, many of you are familiar with some of these. The Community Access to Child Health Grants provide grants that are focused specifically on oral health, among other things. Healthy Tomorrows, you may all be familiar with. The Academy helps run those. And these oral health preceptorships that I've spoken about before. You may all be familiar with Bright Futures. Bright Futures, the number 3, is coming out very soon if it hasn't come out already. And oral health is a significant part of that. So please take a look at that. And future directions for the Academy, as I said, trying to make oral health a significant part of the Academy. In 2008, something called Pediatrics for the 21st Century, or PEDS 21, is going to focus specifically on oral health. This is a significant portion of the annual meeting of the American Academy of Pediatrics that's going to be focused specifically on oral health. We're developing an online web curriculum for pediatric residents. We're working to try to create a national children's oral health message for parents through pediatricians. And we're trying to coordinate those messages with our dental colleagues so we're all saying the same thing. We've been offering oral health training to AAP chapters. PROS is the pediatric research in office settings. We want to do a research project in offices throughout the country to look at how pediatricians can and do incorporate oral health. And we're trying to develop as many resources as we can to help pediatricians do this and make this a part of what they do.
Good afternoon. I'm Alan Douglas. I'm the other half of this tag team here. I'm here representing the American Academy of Family Physicians. A few words about family physicians, because we're not always as frequently thought of in these conversations. Family physicians are actually the largest primary care specialty in this country. There are almost 90,000 family physicians. We perform about half of all the primary care office visits in this country every year, care for the majority of adults and about a quarter of children in this country. AAFP is a rather large monolithic organization which does not have a history of having homes within it for specific diseases or particular parts of caring for people like American Academy of Pediatrics does. So instead, about 4 years ago when oral health became a passion with a group of family physicians who are mostly educators, we chose, rather than spend 5 years changing AAFP, we instead decided to find a home for oral health within the academic arm of AAFP, which is called the Societies of Teachers of Family Medicine, which is a 6,000-strong academic organization of both medical school and residency educators. Within medical education, we've accomplished a couple of significant things. The first, and perhaps maybe the most important, is we managed through a political process to get training in oral health mandated for every resident training in family medicine. This is a big deal. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the literature around continuing medical education, but the bottom line is it doesn't work in terms of changing the practice patterns of physicians. But habits that are established during residency training tend to persist for a lifetime. There's a good and a bad side to that, obviously. If you've ever met a 60-year-old doctor who hasn't kept up, you know what I'm talking about. But at the same time, we thought that perhaps the place to make the biggest impact with is our trainees. And given there are 8,000 of them every year graduating in this country, that's a big impact. The second thing we did was since we'd managed to get training mandated, there are 460 residency programs in the United States in family medicine, and we decided that perhaps the most effective thing to do would be to provide each of them with a curriculum they could use to train their trainees, recognizing there are not 460 academic family physicians evenly distributed in this country with expertise already. So our group developed something called Smiles for Life, which I'd like to tell you a little bit about. Smiles for Life consists of 6 PowerPoint modules really developed by family physicians with dental consultants aimed at covering the breadth of what a primary care doctor needs to know about oral health over 6 hours of modules. And you see the subject areas on the screen. We also included a number of patient education materials, PDA downloads, pocket cards to stick in your white coat pocket with the fluoride prescribing guidelines, for instance, or the teeth charts for when you're talking to a dentist. and put together an implementation guide, lists of resources for further learning, etc. All of that stuff is available for free on our website and has been downloaded over 20,000 times in the 2 years it's been out there, which I think is a pretty significant thing. We are in the midst right now of conducting a utilization survey to figure out exactly who's using it. Nearest we can figure, at least 350 of the 460 residency programs in the country are using this curriculum now. And we know of at least 24 of the nation's 126 allopathic medical schools are using this curriculum. There may be more that we haven't connected with, so we'll know soon. In the continuing medical education realm, American Family Physician is a journal that has almost 200,000 subscribers, not just family physicians, but internists, medical students, etc. And we've managed to get 6 articles published in that journal since 2004, again covering common areas of oral health. And we've succeeded in getting oral health included in a variety of continuing education courses sponsored by the Academy. In terms of the future, Smiles for Life is now 3 years since its inception. A lot's been learned. There's some things that we can do better. There's a second edition about to enter development we're hoping to release next summer. We're continuing collaboration with the pediatric medical obstetrics and dental communities. We're hoping to machinate a policy statement from AAFP on the importance of every family physician addressing oral health with every patient over the next year. And we're hoping to provide more exposure for family physicians to the CMA realm. It does. The adult module includes a large chunk on oral cancer screening. The pediatric and family medicine RRCs operate completely differently, and the family physician RRC does not organize itself in the core competency world like the pediatric RRC does, so it's like comparing apples and oranges. The family medicine RRC has made a specific statement that training in oral health, including hands-off component for every family physician, is mandatory as part of their training, and they've issued their first citations to programs that haven't done it this year. So it's there and it's happening. But it's hard to compare the two documents exactly. Amos.
Any idea to what extent family
good question.
It
depends on, in the states where it's being reimbursed. Where it's being reimbursed, I think family physicians are involved in it to some degree in virtually every state. In some states, it's a lot, especially the WAMI consortium in the far northwest of the United States. That's heavily involved. I'm giving an in-service in Pennsylvania in 2 weeks. We just started paying for it.
North Carolina.
North Carolina's a lot of family physicians involved there. The head of the North Carolina Medicaid program is a family physician. He's been very big in getting it going there. So short answer is varying degrees, but yes. Thank you very much.